afternoon, and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Lauren Landis. Our guest today is Aaron Moore.
I'm sorry I missed Pledge Drive, but I'm here now.
Well, we're sorry you missed Pledge Drive, too, but we
You had somebody kind of lame on instead of me. I'm trying to remember who it was.
I don't think you were somebody lame.
Oh, yeah, Valletta Lil.
Not lame.
No, she was awesome. I listened to the show.
Great. Yeah, she was great.
She was. So, welcome back.
Welcome back.
It's been a while since we've seen you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Aaron was out of town at the time, but Aaron usually does one of our Pledge Drive shows, so we did miss you.
If you did better with Valletta, maybe we need to, you know, renegotiate.
Maybe we do need to renegotiate, because we did great with
Valletta.
Yeah,
okay, we did pretty good with her.
Fine.
Anyway, this week we're just going to discuss different news items. Marriage, once again. You know, I've started for The Voice, I've started writing a column this week in marriage equality, because every week it's something else. Illinois started statewide marriage this week. Mm-hmm. Illinois was in such a rush. Their laws take 6 months to go into effect. But a couple of places, some people sued, and then in other counties, they said, yeah, us too. And there were something like 9 counties where you were able to get married earlier than just last Monday. But as of last Monday, the whole state.
And there's no longer, also, let me phrase this in the positive. Every state in the nation has some sort of either marriage equality or lawsuit or ruling pending.
Right. The next to the last state to add or to file a suit was South Dakota, and I think it's
North
the same.
Dakota. North Dakota.
Well, no, the next to the last state was South.
Yes, and then,
I think it was the same attorneys who got together a group to file in North.
Right. So every single state in the nation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we will see a final decision on this nationwide sooner than later.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think it's going to be sooner, but I'm just not sure if it's going to be next Supreme Court session or the one after. The way things are moving, though.
It's got to be next, I would think. I mean,
why do you think so?
Just because of the rush of decisions, and they've always, you know, kind of used in their back held in their back pocket. Well, you know, public opinion, tide of law, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Guess what? We're there, baby. You know, and if they don't decide something soon and leave it to the next Supreme Court, then they're going to be seen as irrelevant. And that's not something they ever want to do.
Oh, I think it'll come in 2016. I think it's going to take some time for a lot of these cases to move, because they do move slowly through the federal system.
But they're not moving slowly through the federal system this time. That's what's so funny.
Well, they're getting an initial ruling in the federal system, but a lot of them
are going to be
You think they're going to do it in an election year?
Well, they did. We had a lot of marriage discussion in 2012. Lots took place in 2012.
Yeah, and it could be that some of the Republicans want it then in order to stir up the base.
Yeah, maybe.
So we did hear one thing from the Supreme Court this week, and I mean, you know, we probably shouldn't read too much into it, but the Supreme Court did deny the National Organization of Marriages wanting to block the marriages from taking place in Oregon.
Right. So
that, you know,
based on not the DOMA decision, the other one, the Prop 8 decision, where you have to have standing.
Right.
And we say to Michigan, welcome.
Michigan.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
One of those northern states.
Yeah.
They look the same. They kind of fit in together.
They fit into each other.
Yeah.
They're snuggling. It's like Vermont and New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin. Which I'm kind of shocked about, frankly. I thought that Wisconsin would be one of the first states because of Madison and all the liberal base there, but it seems like they've gotten more and more and more conservative over the few years. So,
you know, Wisconsin's one of those funny states. It kind of goes back and forth. Milwaukee's liberal, Madison is liberal, but you get out into the boonies, and it's not. So I think it's a split state, really.
Well, it's the home, too, of Paul Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the home of United States Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
so
exactly.
It's a dichotomy there, for sure.
Oh, does anybody have the...
what'd you say?
I have the statement.
Dichotomy.
Yeah, do you have the statement? I love what she said.
I have the statement. This was the key piece from the ruling. What she said was, because my review of that law convinces me that plaintiffs are entitled to the same treatment as any heterosexual couple, I conclude that the Wisconsin laws banning marriage between same-sex couples are unconstitutional. I don't think it can be any clearer than that. You know, she's doing what they did in the DOMA decision, which was real clear. If she was married to a man, she pays nothing. If she's married to a woman, she pays $263,000. Might be a little bit unequal there. No. She's saying same thing here. Because these two can get married, those two should be able to get married too. So therefore, can't do it.
Right.
That's what she said.
But I also like what she went on to say about she totally turned the opposition's argument about traditional marriage against them. You know, they go on and on about traditional marriage being one man and one woman, mm-hmm. when in fact traditional marriage really was one man and many women. Mm-hmm. That's what traditional marriage really was.
Sure, of course. Right now, couples are getting married in Wisconsin. They started on Friday. Some of the county courthouses opened yesterday, so several hundred couples, I've heard, have gotten married already. Mm-hmm. They're expecting it to be shut down because that circuit has issued stays, and a lot of states have issued stays, especially when the governor or the attorney general has asked for a stay. So they're expecting it to be shut down. So Wisconsin is tentatively marriage equality state number 20, probably unbecome marriage equality state number 20. You know, one of the things you were saying, Patty, was how slowly it's moving. But
I'm not saying it was moving slowly. I'm saying relative.
It does move slowly
relative to taking it to the Supreme Court. Just because it's in the federal system and we've had a ruling at one level doesn't mean that tomorrow it's going to go to the Supreme Court. It doesn't work that way.
We were expecting rulings in Utah and Oklahoma actually faster. And I'm saying that because they took the case real fast. If they were to rule over the next few weeks and the state appeals to the full court, if the full court denies, then the state can appeal to the Supreme Court. It's possible that those two cases would be at the Supreme Court. There are one or two other cases that are like that, too. Which ones am I thinking? Is Michigan at that state, at that stage? I think it might be. Texas, that case is going to be heard in our circuit court, the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans. It's going to be heard on, I think it's July 9th. But we're not expecting a quick ruling in that one. And we probably don't want a quick ruling in that one, mm-hmm. because that could be the first one that overturns for whatever reason. But again, if it does overturn, you have conflicting opinions, and that's more reason for the Supreme Court to take it up. I'm with you, Patty. I think it's not going to be this session unless several cases move. I think the Supreme Court wants this to play out in the circuit courts.
So I think it'll hit the 2015-2016 session.
And if it does, I could see them taking a case like the Ohio case, which said, my partner and I want the state to recognize our marriage because my partner is terminally ill. And I could see the Supreme Court taking that up as kind of an interim case, that yes, a state would have to recognize marriages from other states.
Or the Kentucky case.
Or the Kentucky, yeah. Very similar, yeah.
Ultimately, does it really matter which one gets to the Supreme Court?
It does about the argument. Just recognition.
If it's just recognition from other states, that would say, yes, Texas, it's okay for you not to perform marriages, and it's okay for you to make your citizens travel across country and make this big ordeal of an expensive wedding with days off, and you won't have as nice a wedding because you won't be there to plan it. That's what they'd really be saying in those cases, I think.
Well, they'd be saying that you'd have to go out of state, but we'll recognize it when you come back. Mm-hmm. And that's not sufficient. That's just one argument. It's what they took in Ohio and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But what we'd really want, I think, is the full marriage, so we can marry in Texas and have Texas recognize it. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think there is kind of a split there about which cases would make it.
Right. You know, if you get Danny pregnant again, when you got him pregnant, you had to go to Canada to get married. This way you could just run downtown and get your marriage license to make sure that your child is legitimate. Isn't that how it happened? I don't know. Product of Texas schools, abstinence only, so don't ask me. The Texas GOP is meeting in Fort Worth. Great platform, huh?
Yeah, if you live in the 1950s, yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just when you thought you took one step forward.
Okay, so they took one step forward. They took out some real miserable language out of the platform from last time. Basically calling
tearing at the fabric of society.
Yeah, basically calling us sick and demented, and yeah.
Their bigotry is better phrased now. It's better worded.
What I want to know is, does reparative therapy mean they're going to pay us?
Oh, well, that we get reparations?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't think that's what they meant, but discuss what that meant, because I don't know that everybody really understands just how insidious that little section is.
The reparative therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've taken out that, you know, they were tearing at the fabric of society and have put in that, you know, look, it's sort of their version of love the sinner, hate the sin, and that they're willing to accept that homosexuality exists, but they want to fix us.
Yeah, see, I think it's worse than love the sinner, hate the sin. I think this is much worse because it's saying love the sinner so much that I'm going to give you a chance to do it my way.
Well, burning the village to save the village, essentially, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they've actually put in reparative therapy to cure homosexuality, mm-hmm. into their platform. And there's a great kind of Twitter hashtag going this, you know, don't need fixing, mm-hmm. with people rebutting that there's something wrong with us to repair.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's very, very antiquated thinking, but you know, what else is new?
Well, it's something that's been found illegal or made illegal, mm-hmm. for minors in California and New Jersey.
It's, mm-hmm. considered abuse. I mean, it really is considered abuse. And the other thing that happened kind of, and I don't know if you guys talked about this last week with the Republican convention, is that the log cabins were not allowed in.
Right.
And
As a group. The people are there.
Yes. And the Texas Democratic Party invited them to come to our convention at the end of the month. So
have they agreed?
They respectfully declined.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Thanks, but no thanks. Yeah. But we're like, you know, we welcome you. Come on to our party. And so they were like, no thanks. We'd rather take another beating. Thank you.
Going back to the reparative therapy language, yeah. Is that official or is that still?
It's in the platform.
It is. It, mm-hmm. is officially in our platform.
I believe it got ratified. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's so insidious about that is that, you know, in 1974, I believe it was, the mental illness diagnostic manual included being gay, and it was removed then. So this sort of tries to put it back in there, saying it needs to be cured, it must be a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's trying to say it's still there. It's, mm-hmm. like, let's put it back in.
Again,
so
repeat that year again?
Yeah.
It's early 70s?
Early 70s, again.
Yeah.
Talk about taking steps back.
But,
wow.
I mean, just kind of the headline version of some of the other stuff in the platform. They want to repeal the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
Yeah, well, look at all the damage it's caused.
Well, I mean, who doesn't, right? They have stated in their platform that climate change is a conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
not just a fallacy. It's a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do drug tests for welfare recipients. They want to abolish the Department of Education. You know, because who needs to think, really? They want to abolish the Department of Homeland Security. This one really surprised me, because
mm-hmm.
they're all, you know, home, you know, secure our borders, secure this, strong military,
yeah,
blah, blah,
I think
blah.
It's that NSA thing,
yeah,
the phone calls thing.
But if you've got open carry, then, you know, everybody else can protect us,
I guess.
That's
true.
You know, if you just carry your rifle around with you, then...
That's right.
And I'm still on the fence about if they mean everyone, you know, because I really want to get a group of the most diverse people I can find to start an open carry group, mm-hmm. and, you know, just go meet up with them and say, hey, we agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see how that goes over.
I think, not that we want to be racist, Lauren, but I think she means people like you.
No.
I mean, open carrying, and see how scared they get.
I mean African American, I mean Latino, I mean women, I mean everyone, mm-hmm. that doesn't look like them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, let's just show them how much that's going to go, how well that's going to go. Okay, deny a woman's right to choose, and even in cases of rape or incest. Well, that's old news. Mm-hmm. Oppose non-discrimination laws, except when it pertains to them and their open carry. Mm-hmm. Disband the TSA. This one surprised me, too. I'm not sure why they want to get rid of the...
Well, they don't like the inspections at airports. I don't think
unless you look like a Muslim.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, seriously. I mean, okay, so anyway. You know,
yeah, yeah, no, I'm agreeing. Yeah. Does that really make sense? I think they don't like, just like most of us, don't really like the airport security system.
It's too much government is what I think it is, but then they start screaming security and lack of inspection, but whatever. Okay, defund Texas schools. And in case you think we're stereotyping Republicans, this is their platform, people. This is what they have said they believe in. So defund Texas schools, reject the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, because children.
The children.
and withdraw from the United Nations. Mm-hmm. So...
It's interesting. I guess withdraw from the United Nations became a mantra during the 70s, I guess, and they just keep saying it. Have you heard any UN news lately? Big UN news? That?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what this, you know, why this is important, and is there anything in there about creating jobs or...
Or ruling the state or... Federal government? No.
Yeah, no. Okay, I didn't think so.
It's really just things they don't like and that they really wish that, you know, it was 1950 again, and that everybody, not straight white male, would go away. Thank you. If you can just keep walking.
Our guest today is Erin Moore. She is... What are you?
I don't know.
Oh, we don't know either.
I'm political affairs chair for Stonewall again.
Oh, are you?
I am.
Ah, Erin Moore, who is political affairs chair for Stonewall Democrats of Texas, and or Texas, or you're the Dallas one. Oh,
Dallas chair.
She used to be important statewide. She's not anymore. She's just the
I
local.
Really am a nobody.
I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis, and we'll be back with Laurent's entertainment report right after this.
You are listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
KNON is a community radio station that has survived on listener support for over 30 years. If you would like to donate at KNON anytime, you can do so by going to KNON.org and clicking on Pledge Now. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening to Dallas's original community radio station, KNON 89.3 FM, the voice of the people.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And here's Laurent's entertainment report.
Already, actor Jonah Hill gave an emotional apology on The Tonight Show over the weekend after calling a paparazzi the F word, among other things, that when he used when he said, you know, he was in anger and in frustration. You know how actors get when they're being chased down by the paparazzi.
I know how I am.
You know, they chase you down all the time. He said he didn't mean it in a homophobic way, but he offered no excuses. He said, quote, "I've been a supporter of the LGBT community in my entire life, and I completely let the members of that community and everybody else down when I used to work like that. Quote, I don't deserve or expect your forgiveness, but I ask that if you're at home, if you're watching this, and you're a young person especially, if someone says something like that that hurts you or angers you, use me as an example of what not to do and don't respond with hatred or anger because you're just adding to more ugliness to the world. I'm so sorry." So I thought this would be a good time to maybe discuss this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Possibly the world's greatest apology, but it's really kind of sad that that's still a word thrown out in anger.
You know, this is what we were talking about before
the
show, too.
Here's what I've come to grips with. So. I think it might, and I'm not defending him per se. I think this might be a generational thing. This is the umpteenth time I've heard somebody, because he is much younger than all of us, that I've heard somebody say, throw around the F word and say, I didn't mean it in a homophobic way. Apparently, they do just kind of throw that out there as a general derogatory term.
Yeah, I don't go... First of
almost like calling somebody an a-hole is a general derogatory term.
Do you know,
did we buy that, though?
Well, do I accept the apology? Sure. It was a great apology.
Yeah, it was a great apology.
End of story on that one.
I can get over that.
What bothers me is just what you said is, why is that word out there? People don't use the N-word, and I don't say...
Well, not anymore. They did, though.
But, yes, and using that as a lesson...
Well,
but no.
Now they know they're
not
using
in this case.
It's
Erin, I'm so annoyed at you, you N-word person.
Yeah, it used to be
somebody who it's. I mean, there is nobody that it's appropriate for, but
it used to be casually thrown around, and now it's not. Now if it's used, it's really offensive. And I think there's a period for slurs where they become denuded of their meaning.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just a word you say when you're mad, and it starts out as a slur. It gets to this point where it's such common usage that it doesn't really mean anything. You know, it's the old Lenny Bruce routine. You know, if you say something often enough, it takes the meaning out of it. And then there comes a period where people go, that's not cool. And then it becomes its mean word again and unacceptable. So
when is that, though? When does the N-word become acceptable?
I didn't say acceptable. I said unacceptable again. It's unacceptable.
No, what you said was denuded of its meaning and people just toss it around. Well, when is that? Is it the C-word for women? Is it the S-word for Latinos?
See, that's
Latinos?
What I'm saying. I don't understand why this word is...
None of those words experience
is in
that.
Somebody like that who understands what that word means, why is it even in his vocabulary?
Right,
I just find that odd.
That's what I'm saying, though. And I'm not saying it's right, Patty. I'm just saying it happens. It happens with certain slur words. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, that's so gay. You know, they don't even know that's hururting a class of people. They just think it's a derogatory.
I think it's
lame. Stupid,
again, I'm not defending him, but it's part generational, part of who you grew up around. It's just that's their lingo, whatever.
Yeah.
They're just not thinking. They're just used to using that word.
And I don't think.
But I have heard it a lot of times. They're like, well, I didn't mean it towards gay people.
But
that's who you're talking about.
And we hear it differently, I think. Than,
yeah, obviously.
Of course we
you
do.
Know, and it's not right. He shouldn't have done it. And I think that
here's what bothers me about what you said, and I'm agreeing with you 100%. He's hearing it differently than we are.
Yeah.
He's an ally.
Yeah.
I rely on our allies not to call us that, or not to call that person over there, you know, what you're thinking is a bad word for me.
Yeah.
And that's what is really bothering me about this.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm still
stuck on this kind of generic word, like it becomes sort of a generic slur.
Mm-hmm.
Like it loses its slurness.
Which one did?
Give us an example of which one that actually experienced that kind of transformation. Because I can't think of one.
Well, I don't think we have personally, but I'm saying I think they have. That's how they look at it.
They being
I'm just coming to grips with that. Like,
I think it's specific to LGBT people.
No. Like we can use the N word. Younger generation, specifically students, non-black students, call each other the N word. They do all the time.
Okay,
and
through rap culture.
Yes, absolutely.
And we call each other the slurs that we don't want to hear from straight people.
I've had to witness it. I'm married to a teacher who has to correct that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Non-black students have calling each other the N-word. It has turned into just a general slur word. Like, you cannot use that.
Well, even
but
saying
it's like,
things like,
wow.
My brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unless you're like a Mennonite or something, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
you mean
mm-hmm.
the black
derivation
of that.
We're just old and out of touch.
It's just, yeah, well, I think there's that.
Well, but there's a difference there. That's not offensive, though.
It's co-opting culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's co-opting someone else's culture. And that's kind of when it loses some of its want to say it loses its sting, because it never does, but it loses its meaning to the people that aren't in that community.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, here's where I'm about it. Because the F word, I don't consider part of my culture. I consider it those people, whoever they are.
But a lot of people in our culture do.
Right.
Mm. Well, hopefully they're listening to us today.
I wouldn't name it, though. I think that's a word of their culture, not our culture.
It's
used a word that was created and deliberately used to humanize us.
Yeah.
It's a whole mix. We could have a whole show on slurs, and we probably should, including the word tranny. But we'll talk about that later. Because there's a whole big thing with RuPaul and the
word
tranny.
You have more entertainment
anyway,
still.
Yeah,
is still.
That still going on? Yeah, oh, it's still going on. But anyway, congratulations to Grammy Award-winning singer and songwriter Melissa Etheridge, who married her partner Linda Whalum, co-creator of Nurse Jackie. They've been dating since 2010, and they announced their engagement last summer right after the Prop 8 ruling from the Supreme Court. All of Melissa's children from her previous relationships attended the wedding, including Rosie O'Donnell and Jane Lynch. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I know Patty can correct me or set this straight, this is Melissa's actually first legal marriage.
That's still a good question.
Because I know she's had two long-term previous relationships, but wouldn't this be her
ceremonies
first?
With Tammy Lynn, where there was, I don't know if that was a legal marriage or not.
Because that's what the whole court battle was about.
That was more than 10 years ago, I think.
That was a palimony thing, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
I thought Melissa was saying that they didn't get legally married, and her partner was saying, Tammy Lynn was saying that they had a civil union.
It was in that 2008 period.
Yeah. And then, what was her first partner's name? Years ago.
Julie Seifert.
Julie Seifert. That was just...
The ex-Lou Diamond Phillips.
Right. I don't even think anything was optional for them back then.
Yeah.
So I think this is her actual first legal marriage.
Well, I think what's interesting is that she's married the woman who's, of course, the creator of Nurse Jackie, whose brother is a famous, you know, Broadway talent, wins a lot of Tony, Stephen Wallum. And he plays Thor on Nurse Jackie. He usually does stage. His world is stage.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Thor is gay on the show.
Oh, cool.
So, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to her. The WNBA announced it will market specifically to the LGBT fans, making it the first pro sports league to do so. Surprise, surprise.
It is a surprise.
You're probably thinking, duh, but it is the first one to do so. The marketing will include teams participating in outreach at Pride festivals, advertising with lesbian media and advocacy work.
Okay, no, here's what the surprise is. Because that league went out of its way to be so homophobic when it first started. It's like, yes, and Nancy Lieberman is setting up a shot, and Patty Fink is... Oh, and there's Patty Fink's husband in the audience over there watching her dribble the ball down the court as she passes the ball to Aaron Moore. Aaron Moore lays a shot, and then so-and-so, whose husband is in the... It was hysterical to listen to them.
I mean, it's like... I'm sorry, it's like a dyke in a dress. I mean, you know. You just know. And they're trying to say otherwise. It's like...
Well...
They went out of their way to show how many lesbians were in the league by pointing out the husband of each and every straight member of the league the first year of that league.
The one.
It was idiotic.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that they finally discovered, oh, a whole bunch of women like watching women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Was it maybe Brittany Griner who broke all records her second day in the league?
Right.
WNBA President Laura Richie says, this is one of those moments in the W where everybody comes together. So good for them. And last, guess who joined the GLAAD Board of Directors?
Patty Fink.
No.
No.
Aaron Moore.
No.
No.
Okay,
I'll give you a hint. They are a Republican.
That's definitely not us.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Patty Fink.
Who?
A Republican.
Okay.
The Cheneys.
It's Meghan McCain.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't surprise me.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I told David.
I think that's a good position for her.
It is. Daughter of Republican U.S. Senator John McCain.
Yeah.
In a statement released by GLAAD, they said, for years, Meghan McCain has lent her voice as a platform spreading messages across the party lines, of course. She's going to be co-hosting a late-night news show. And, of course, she has posed twice for the No Hate campaign. Mm-hmm. And in January 2012, she blasted then-Republican presidential hopeful Rick Santorum for his strong anti-gay marriage rhetoric. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a good non-democratic choice, and it's going to give a little diversity.
Oh, I think
on
she's
board.
Just a good choice.
She's just a good choice.
I think she's a good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So good for them.
Smart. And that's and she's good very for media savvy.
She is.
Yeah, I really don't mean that as
no, no, I think it's a good choice.
I think she's a good choice.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, no. She's always spoken up on behalf of the gay community.
She has.
Can we go back to the platform first?
I have one other quickie one. This goes under. I want to do the Nancy Grace one. Nancy Grace.
Let's do
Idiot.
She put her understanding of history right out there front and center when she said on a recent show on HLN, what she said was she claimed that noted anti-gay activist Anita Bryant was just a sweet, mild-mannered gospel singer who was stalked by the gay community. Yes, we stalked her. Poor dear.
I wonder why.
And reminded her of her grandma.
Why would we have stalked her? That would be a whole other show. This is where you said you don't want to go into this.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah. Oh, she was just...
Why is she even talking about Anita Bryant?
Because of the Brad Pitt stalking. So she was equating the two.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. Yeah, right.
So a whole movement of people nationwide was stalking a single person?
Uh-huh.
And she played the clip on her show of when she got the pie in the face.
Yeah, she got a pie in the face from one activist who...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. Hillary got a shoe thrown at her.
Exactly.
I just got an email that has the sentence from the platform in it about mm-hmm. reparative therapy, and mm-hmm. I just want people to hear this. We recognize, this is not me saying this, this is air quotes. We recognize the legitimacy and efficacy of counseling, which offers reparative therapy and treatment for those patients seeking healing and wholeness from their homosexual lifestyle. Wah, wah, wah.
Patients.
I'm a patient.
We're patients.
I'm a patient because I love a man.
Uh-huh. And we have a lifestyle.
And I have a lifestyle.
We have a lifestyle.
All three of us have very different lifestyles.
Yes, we do.
You think?
Well, I always like to ask people, especially during trainings and such, well, what is the heterosexual lifestyle?
I couldn't tell you.
But I like to tell them...
RVing.
RVing, yeah. RVing's lifestyle. I have a life. But I like to tell them, though, well, I could decide if I so chose, I could decide for myself that the heterosexual lifestyle, what it means to be heterosexual, is, you know, the strip bars, the one-night stands, the latest conquest tonight, the, you know... anything and everything that goes on. And I could decide that that is what it means to be heterosexual.
Because
but I know that's not true.
No, it's your right and your obligation to do that, not living that lifestyle. So it's for you as the outside observer to tell them who they are. And you define them and judge them. I think that's
right.
A great idea.
But I like to tell them, though, that I don't do that because I know it's not true.
Of course not.
And so when straight people characterize us as obsessed with sex, mm-hmm. that's why I hate the word homosexual because it's got the word sex in
right.
it. And it just feeds that stereotype. And, you know, here we are. We're not. We have real lives. We
do you know,
have...
I heard a good anti-science Republican speaking. I forgot what he was on, but he was talking about how you know evolution is so homosexually wrapped up in homosexuality.
Evolution?
Oh yeah, because mm-hmm. look at the names they chose for the supposed evolutionary species: Homo erectus, Homo sapien.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
So we can't believe in evolution. I want to go back to I forgot who it was.
Yeah.
This is one of those idiots that you try to just put out of your mind,
yeah.
but you know it's
yeah.
one of those things that's so stupid
yeah.
it just sticks in your mind.
Yeah.
I want to go back to marriage a little bit. Florida, you know, we have marriage cases like
speaking
you said.
Of Anita Bryant.
Speaking of idiots, speaking of Anita Bryant, we have marriage cases coming up in every state,
mm-hmm.
and we have multiple marriage cases coming up in a number of states. So Florida, their first case that's going to their district court that Florida is going to defend, or Florida is going to defend their marriage law, their attorney general is using this as their defense. She said recognition of out-of-state marriages of same-sex couples would impose, quote, significant public harm by interfering with Florida's current marriage laws.
Okay.
Significant harm. They might have to change a word or two on the marriage license. That's significant. Her name is Pam Bondi,
yeah.
And she's been divorced three times. Last week she was in Cayman Islands. She was supposed to be marrying her new husband in Cayman last weekend, but they came back still unmarried, so it was okay for her to be traveling.
She's causing me significant harm.
I think she's causing the state significant harm.
In their long-term relationships.
Well, in their lifestyle.
Because of her.
In that lifestyle that she's living.
Yes.
So she said she's planning still on getting married to him just at home.
I mean, the significant harm could also be, you know, the state having to issue her new driver's licenses. For her new names to match her voting record,
and another thing that they'll have to do that will cause significant harm to the state is they'll have to recognize an out of country marriage. Difficult.
These
are hard things.
It's so hard.
It is hard. Significant.
Hard. Maybe we need to get somebody to stalk her and throw a pie at her.
I read an article though. Exactly. I read an article in the Tampa Bay Times, I think it's called, and what they were saying was, this isn't the Pam Bondi we know, because all of her arguments, they rose to the level of significant public harm, you know, just these idiotic platitudes. They're saying she's defending it because she feels, as Attorney General, she has to defend a state law. Mm-hmm. She has no arguments. She has lots of gay friends. And she expects to lose and just won't say that publicly. So.
Well, but, I mean, she could also do the courageous step that several other state attorneys general have done.
No, she's a Republican.
She could also take the courageous step that other state attorneys general have done, which is just refuse to defend the law.
Right.
I mean, if that's... And I know this is going to be an unpopular thing to say, but... Until we start getting some Republicans going, you know, big government's big government, and big government shouldn't tell people who to love, then we're not going to get things to go the way we need them to go.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, and basically that's what happened in Pennsylvania. Democratic attorney general who would not defend the law. But once the court decision came down, the governor said, okay, we'll abide by that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And good for him.
And good for him.
Good for him.
That's exactly
because
what I mean.
It was harder for him to do that than it was for the Democratic attorney, the Republican governor to do that than for the Democratic attorney general to just not defend. So good for him. Good
right.
for him. Why don't we take our break? You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis, the late Patty Fink, and our guest, Aaron Moore, who's the of the Stonewall.
Something with Stonewall.
You are listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Want to find out about upcoming events at KNON? Want to see pictures from past events or need information about the station? Then you need to like the official KNON Facebook page. It's easy to find. Just go to facebook.com/KNON893. It's the KNON 89.3 FM station-produced page for Facebook. It's the easiest way to keep up with what's going on here at KNON. Like us and share with your friends today. That's facebook.com/KNON893. Accept no substitutions.
Wrong one.
Try again, sir.
No.
Okay.
You're listening to 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis, the late Patty Fink, and our guest Aaron Moore. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, so we were thrown around. Do you have something you want to start with?
No.
Okay,
no.
I have one. The United Methodist Church, been in the news nationally, been in the news locally. Nationally, Frank Schaefer, thank you. He was on our show in, I think, February. He was. He's a defrocked. Is he again?
Yeah,
that's right.
North
he
Haven.
Was speaking at North Haven.
Yeah.
He's a defrocked United Methodist minister. Performed his own son's wedding, and the gotcha that they resolved his case with was he could say, well, you didn't perform any others in the meantime, because it was like 6 years that passed in between the time the charges were filed from when it happened. You haven't done any others. All you have to do is promise not to do another one. But the gotcha is he has two other gay kids, and he wasn't going to do that to his other two kids. So they were you know, that was a real gotcha. Locally, we have an 85-year-old minister, retired pastor at North Haven United Methodist Church, performed a ceremony for a couple that had been married for 53 years, and somebody brought charges. That's expected to be resolved, very friendly. Here's the new solution.
Proposed solution, or is it a solution?
It's a proposed solution. Where is it? Okay. The solution offers churches and regional bodies the options to make their own minds on issues like affirming gay clergy and same-sex marriage. So in other words, the question that everybody is asking the Methodists, okay, North Haven wants to perform same-sex marriages. Highland Park United Methodist Church doesn't. How about if North Haven does them, Highland Park doesn't? Is that so terrible? That's not a split in the religion. That's saying, you know, there are
it's a congregational decision is what they're
saying. Yeah, it's saying there's a whole bunch of Methodist churches. Go to the one you want to go to.
Hi, but these are the Methodists. Why is it so hard to make this decision? It's not the 1970s. This is a smorgasbord platter decision by a church that's supposedly progressive on social issues. It's not that hard, Methodists.
Do they have to be uniform on everything? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think it's that unusual among religious denominations, among Protestants, where they allow a congregation to make decisions on its own.
Mm-hmm.
They can, some can even make decisions about whether they want to have, a female deacon.
Mm-hmm.
Or, lots of other decisions. So
In Judaism, we have an overriding body that does make some overall decisions, but then it's left to the congregation. Do it or don't do it. Come up with your own. Have a reasonable reason to do it. And then, you don't want to go to that synagogue, so go to the one across town.
Yeah, find one you agree with.
One that you like.
So that's not out of the norm.
No,
it's not unusual, and it's not uncommon, but I just think the Methodist Church, of any of the Protestant churches, would be the one to take the first step and say, you know what, we're going to be an affirming church.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been stepping their toe in that water for a long time. I just really wish they'd go ahead and just say, as a church, from the elders or their governing council, whatever they call it, I'm not Methodist, obviously, just to say, you know what, this is right in line with our tenets, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But they just won't do it. And I know that there's some congregations that will take exception to it, but that's always going to be the case mm-hmm. in any decision. So, I don't know, that's just my, me right. telling the Methodist what to do. But
And I just don't see what's wrong with, talking to a number of people at North Haven.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care if Highland Park does these services or not. They just don't care.
Right. They just don't want to be banned from doing them themselves.
Just don't tell me that I can't do them just because you don't want to do them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess I've held the Methodists in higher esteem than what they've been showing on this
mm-hmm.
issue.
Oh, they've been terrible on this issue.
Reverend Frank Schaefer was on the Washington Post this week on a post, they call it Post Live. It's a TV interview, but it's still up, so you can go by and swing by WashingtonPost.com and see it. And he talks about his experience being defrocked and why he persisted and why he didn't agree.
Did he mention when the video's coming out or the movie?
No.
That we're in?
No. No, he did
they filmed here, and Laurent was in the promo even.
Have to go look at that.
So, why don't we do the cities, the top cities? They've come out with yet another.
Yeah, they come in celebration of Pride Month, they came out with the latest top 20 LGBT-friendly cities. And this list is kind of economically based. How they came up with it is based on three different categories, percentage of same-sex partners, percentage of same-sex partners in the city, the HRC, Municipal Equality Index, and the number of hate crime
reporting
in that city. So, interesting three categories, and mm-hmm. they tallied up the scores with that. And the number one city is not San Francisco, just to tell you that. So the top 20 cities, I'm not going to go over all of them, but number one is Seattle.
You know, that one doesn't surprise me.
Not surprising, yeah.
A lot of people on the West Coast have moved up to Seattle because California is so expensive. So Seattle has a large gay population and probably a larger lesbian population. San Francisco has become unaffordable lately.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of evictions.
Yeah, they're not really taking care of their own in San Francisco anymore.
Yeah. No.
I mean, and I know a lot of gay couples are leaving because mm-hmm. of it. You know, that they can't get services, they can't get affordable housing, you know, they can't get a lot of the things that made San Francisco attractive in the first place.
So. San Francisco did come in number two.
Yeah.
The other surprise, number three, was Atlanta.
That did surprise me.
That's pretty high.
It surprises me because it's not in a marriage equality state.
It's not.
Atlanta's a city, yeah, but
it's a southern state.
Atlanta has a great gay community, though. I would say
a very strong gay community
on par with ours, if not a little stronger in some ways. But they do a lot more outreach to minority communities mm-hmm. than we do here. But Atlanta's very, very strong, and we're not a marriage equality state either. So mm-hmm. I mean, they're doing good stuff there.
Which is why I'm saying I'm surprised it's in the top 10. I would think the top 10, you know, we have 20 marriage equality states this weekend. Not tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we do have 20 as of today. We have another 9 with rulings throwing out the marriage law.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Georgia's not one of them yet.
Right.
But it just seems like at least the top 10 should be in marriage equality states.
No.
Just kind of seems to me. No, maybe not.
The only Texas city to make the top 10 is Austin.
Yeah.
That was number what?
Number 7. And the other surprise for me is New York came in number 15.
Oh, and where did Dallas come in?
Dallas did make the list at number 17, the only other Texas city to make the list. Mm-hmm. Houston didn't make the list at all.
Even with a gay mayor.
But without a gay ordinance.
But yeah.
They used the MEI.
Right.
HRC's.
But, right. But with the passage of their MEI this year, I'm sure it'll make the list next year and probably surpass Dallas next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do surpass Dallas with the percentage of same-sex couples.
Yeah. No, that doesn't surprise me.
Well, in the census, though, in the 2010 census, Dallas had the largest population of declared same-sex couples on the United States Census.
Dallas or Dallas-Fort Worth?
Dallas.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Interesting. So I'm curious to see if that's actually...
And San Antonio had the greatest number of same-sex couples with children.
With children, yeah.
In the country.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting one. So San Antonio's not on the list. It probably comes in the next 10. I think that's
so an interesting
too narrow
list.
It's an odd criteria.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, and
one of these things that I don't like in rating cities is when you use couples. Now, I get that they're using number of couples because it was sort of counted on the census. Mm-hmm. And I'm listed on the census. I would be considered a Hispanic couple because the name that you put
you by
first.
Yourself?
Me and Miguel,
uh-huh.
Who I was living with at the time of the census. The name that you put first and how you market. Miguel, and we put Hispanic, so that puts the family mm-hmm. as a Hispanic gay family.
Well, it's not perfect, but, I mean, there are lots of metrics you can use to determine this kind of thing. I do think that it's a little strange about the...
It is.
The hate crimes reporting mm-hmm. and the... I mean,
well, and I get it. If that was one of maybe 10 things that they were using, we want a city with low hate crimes against the gay and lesbian community. I get that. But that's just one
of them. Crime reporting is fundamentally flawed as it is, though, is my point. It's like, you know, I mean, it's kind of a gauge, but, you know, do you have protections in place is more of a gauge to me than if you have a high number of hate crimes reported.
And they're probably saying, well, we got that on the MEI.
Yeah.
And here's the biggest one, I think, that's just totally misleading. For somebody who were to read this and just were like totally oblivious and ignorant about gay communities or gay cities, L.A. fell below Dallas.
Yeah.
Did you, that really? No.
Hmm.
No. Come on. Hmm. No.
Well, and New York just being two places above Dallas.
Yeah, that's like really, really misleading.
When I've convened with those around the country in a national way, I wouldn't call the Los Angeles LGBT community particularly organized.
They're not.
Or particularly anything. And I think Dallas is. I mean, we're so organized. We've got
a group for everything.
Almost too many organizations.
I'm not saying. I don't think this is a measure of as far as the organization of the community, as far as like political. This is like LGBT friendly cities,
right? But a city gets LGBT friendly from people being organized.
I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah. I agree, that wasn't one of the criteria they used.
Yeah, that's not one of the criteria.
See, I'm agreeing that should be one of the criteria that they used.
I mean, like New Orleans is exceptionally, gay friendly. Mm-hmm. The rest of the state's not. And the New Orleans community is about as lackadaisical as they come mm-hmm. because they're so accepted by the community. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to... When I was on the HRC board many, many, many years ago, somebody asked us why we had such a strong community in Dallas, and my first answer was always because we have so much to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a community that's welcoming to start with, you don't form organizations to fight those issues. So in my long way, I'm agreeing with both of you in that there needs to be a...
It's kind of like I've asked the kids at Booker T why they don't have a good, strong gay-straight alliance. And they've said, our whole school is a gay-straight alliance.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no need for it.
That's interesting silly list.
Yeah, yeah, it is interesting. They keep coming out with those lists. For whatever reason. I guess it's a marketing thing. Yeah, they're popular and it's a marketing thing. We talked about it.
Gay people travel to push a stereotype.
And they usually list even sillier cities than, an odder order.
Phoenix makes it every now and again.
Yeah, but places like Dubuque will make it too.
Yeah.
So, that's a great city.
I think it would be really useful if in the next census, which would be 2020, so this may yet happen, mm-hmm. is if they would just ask the question about sexual orientation and gender identity and expression on the United States Census.
And that would be great if they did, because what all of these surveys do is they completely ignore single people.
Yeah, and people who are couples, but they're not living together.
Like poor Josh here.
That works for them. You know?
And poor Chris.
Right. I mean, a lot of our friends are in long-distance relationships or even just choose not to live together,
Right.
That doesn't count, or it didn't count. But, they ask, they ask your ethnicity, they ask your marital status, they ask a lot of things on the census. I see no problem asking your sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Or sexual preferences. What is it? Lifestyle. Your homosexual lifestyle preference.
Right.
Well, then, that goes into another...
Let's hope.
Do you think they should start asking your sexual orientation on other forms of data, like when you fill out a job application?
No.
The census historically asks...
I mean, that's just another way they do collect data.
The census historically has been very invasive. This past census, the census was just down and dirty, 1, 2, 3, boom, 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 4 questions, and that was it. The census usually has 2 different forms. 1 in 10 people gets a real detailed form that goes into all kinds of personal information. They didn't do
their
that
this
time,
though. Their religious beliefs, it goes into all kinds.
Yeah,
that's how they get that data.
They were looking for numbers this year, not data.
Yeah.
And that kind of made me a little sad. I mean, I'm glad they were trying to count it more people than and get fewer granular bits of information. But I think they need to dial that back a little, too, and come in the middle.
While we're talking numbers, I saw an interesting little piece. Support for gay marriage has backed away slightly from its record high in March, but a solid majority supports it still. And half go as far as to say that it's a right protected by the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. This was a Washington Post ABC News poll. 50% say gay marriage, and they really mean same-sex marriage because they mean lesbian marriages mm-hmm. too, are protected by the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. And that's the argument that's been repeated time after time in each of these rulings that have come up. 43% do not believe same-sex marriage enjoys constitutional protection. Doesn't mean that all of that 43% is against. They just don't think it's a constitutional right. But they're not against it necessarily. Most of those are, I guess. But support for same-sex marriage overall, regardless of views on whether it's constitutionally protected, enjoys broader support, 56% saying they back the right for same-sex couples to marry, only 38% completely opposing it. So those figures are good. When they say it's backed off, I think in March it was 57%.
Yeah,
so that's margin of error.
I mean, I'm seeing more and more things like You know, I think gay people should have all the rights I do, or as I call them, people. You know, or I think gay couples should have the right to marry, or to gay marry, or as I call it, marriage. You know, it's like, I think there's a normalization happening there that's helping a lot, too, and those numbers are really showing that.
Well, in a number of states, they can't tell you how many same-sex couples have married, because they don't marry same-sex couples, they marry couples.
Couples, right.
And you know, you either accept our marriage licenses or you don't.
Yeah.
In Houston, you know, Anise Parker, the mayor, has been under death threats, and police are protecting her around the clock. One of the biggest opponents of this new ordinance that they have is a Houston pastor who said, oh, you're just letting transgender people, you know, transgender people who call themselves transgender, these are men who just want to go into the women's room to, you know, harass and do all kinds of. Well, turns out this little pastor, he's been accused of sexual harassment.
Excuse me.
So where does this garbage from this pastor come from? It's he's projecting himself onto other people.
And I'm sorry, the Houston ordinance has the best acronym ever.
HERO.
HERO.
Houston Equal Rights Ordinance.
Yes. Yeah,
that's a great name.
I love that.
That's a great name.
Cue the disco music.
And cue the going out music, because we're out of time. Aaron, thank you for being with
us.
Good to see you.
Yeah, we'll see you next pledge drive.
Sure, or Valletta.
Or Valletta, and we'll get you in there somewhere.
Okay.
Next week, our guest is Lynn Scherr, who's the one of the hosts of 2020. She wrote a new book about astronaut Sally Ride, and she'll be here talking about it.
Great.